Yeah, what's going on, guys? This is an edition of the Nerd Hour. Here, so far, just me right now. My co-hosts seem to be nowhere to be found. Oh, wait, Cornax just got on. All right. So we'll have me and Cornax in a second. You know, for those who know the theme that's playing, the song that's playing right now, if you watch NXT, that would be the theme of one Xavier Woods, who is currently on NXT. Hi, Cornax. What's up, Punctual Buddy?
Hi.
What happened?
No, nothing. I just had to rush and get dinner and pretty much on 30-mile-per-hour road, average about 50 miles per hour, getting here on time.
You forgot, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly why I was driving 50 miles per hour.
Oh, well, so just like Sammy Hagar, you do not, in fact, drive 55.
Just below it.
Just below it. So, again, for those of you who don't know, the song that I introed with is the theme of one Xavier Woods. I play that because, A, the song does sound nerdy, his character is nerdy, and he's going to be called up soon. Good Lord, what did you just shuffle?
That was me heading down to the basement where I usually do the show, and I ended up hitting shit.
All right. Shit. See, that's how Cornax rushed to get here right on time.
That's, yeah.
And I'm guessing Ariel's busy or had something that I should have asked her much earlier if she had plans today so I would know and better prepare myself. So that's on me. Cornax is still getting ready. Red Sox in chat goes, "You speed demon you, 55, LOL.
Did I mention it was in the school zone?
Oh, in the school zone. Damn, that would have been a fucked up ticket.
Oh, no, it was near school. Because I live right nearby the elementary school I used to go to.
Western Echo, to answer your question, Ariel is one of the co-hosts of this fine radio show that you're listening to. She is... I don't know where she is. She might be running late. I don't know. I'm guessing wherever she is, she can't really check her cell phone. And that's not me just being a douche. I'm just saying maybe it might be work. I don't know. Again, I asked her, like, during brain stew. I'd sent the text, so, you know, who knows? I probably should have texted her earlier today and said, yeah, by the way, there's a Nerd Hour tonight.
And I probably should have brought my phone so that you weren't calling me at, you know, the 13th hour.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You see, it's weird. Usually she asks if there's a show. So I'm guessing something happened.
Hopefully nothing too bad.
Yeah. Or I wonder if tonight's the night of that Doctor Who thing. The special with David Tennant and Matt Smith is actually going to be shown in movie theaters as part of a Fathom events soon. So hope it might be tonight. I don't know. Or it might be something else. Who knows? But
that movie's in November.
Well, it's November 1st.
The end of November, like November 23rd,
right.
I believe.
Since I mentioned that, though, I do have to point out, I did not get to go to the Fathom Events thing I got a ticket for, the Night of the Living Dead thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so disappointed I didn't, but I went to get a refund for the ticket, but I waited until like the Tuesday after. So, literally, like, 5 days after the airing.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't give me a refund.
Because, well, yeah, you probably went too late.
Yeah, I did. I went too late. But they gave me a pass to see any movie, regardless of price. Oh, Ariel's here. All right, she just popped on Skype.
That is a great policy.
Yeah, so...
They can't break their company policy... But they will give you a review because you couldn't go.
Yeah. Now, not only does it apply for any regular movie, granted, I think IMAX is an extra charge, which is weird when I say this next thing. There's two choices of what I'm going to use it on. I can either use it for the all-day Thor thing, the one where you see Thor, I'm guessing the Avengers, and then Thor 2.
Uh-huh.
Or... I can use it for the Doctor Who thing later in the month.
Well, one of them is all Thor, which, you know, I've never been interested too much in Thor, besides the fact that he's a thunder god, but I haven't seen the movies, but I do like what they've done. I haven't seen the first movie. I have seen the Avengers. I do like what they're doing with the character. Because yeah. I've seen a few clips.
And the new movie looks good, and as I'm going to add Ariel to this call. Here's the thing, though. Like, both are more, like, the Doctor Who one is $15, whereas the Thor one is, like, $25. So those you don't have to pay extra for if I use the pass. But if I get IMAX, I think I would still have to pay the IMAX charge.
Well, isn't Ariel going to the Doctor Who thing?
She is.
Yep, I am.
Oh, there.
She's here. You're in, Ariel? Everything all right?
Yeah, hi.
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 We were a bit worried.
What?
We were a bit worried.
Oh,
we didn't hear from you, so I was like,
I didn't know what time we were getting on Skype, and I was writing, and then I didn't realize what time it was.
Oh, all right. So I was pointing out, I wasn't able to go to the thing I got a ticket for, the Night of the Living Dead Riff Tracks one.
Right, which you mentioned last week.
So I got a pass for any movie in the AMC theater.
Oh, sweet. That's pretty sick.
So, and now they said if it's IMAX, I have to pay the IMAX charge. But here's the
whole... $3?
Yeah. Which is not bad. Not bad at all. But I could also use it for example, the Doctor Who special.
Yeah, if it's not sold out.
It wasn't on Tuesday. I got to check. Or I could use it for the Thor marathon.
Well, like, what are you going to get the best benefit of? Like, here's what I'm thinking. Like, the Doctor Who thing, it's just regular. It's like $15, so it's not really anything more than a regular seeing it in 3D. Thor, the IMAX, it's only $3 extra or whatever. And
the
marathon would also just be, what, a little bit extra? Yeah.
The marathon, it's $25 to see all the movies in that. But
so you'd probably have to pay $10.
No. Like, the pass would cover that, but it wouldn't cover the IMAX fee for an IMAX movie.
That's weird. Well, I mean, maybe it might be worth it.
I mean, because I did want to, like, both pique my interest as far as seeing them.
You haven't seen the first one?
No, I mean, like, the Thor one and the Doctor Who special.
Right, yes, it's difficult to decide which one.
But I'm debating just going there Tuesday, seeing if they're still selling passes to the Thor thing. If so, using my pass to get the Thor thing, and then just paying the money to get the Doctor Who ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're going to benefit more from just going to the Thor thing, because that's $25 versus the other thing, which is just $15.
Yeah.
So you'd pay more. Like, if you want to do both, I would just use the pass for Thor and then buy the Doctor Who one.
Yeah, that'd probably be a good idea.
Because otherwise, you're going to pay $25 for Thor and then get the Doctor Who one for free. So you're better off just going to the Thor one and then...
Watch, I go to buy the Thor thing, and then the girl who explained it is not there, and someone else is there. And go, oh, no, here, you got to pay $15 for the Thor thing.
Yeah, I would find out. Like, just double check when you go in, and then be like, okay, well, then I'll use my pass for Doctor Who.
Hey, Kevin, Western Echo, good. Western Echo wants to go to the Doctor Who thing also, so,
Yeah, so
buddy.
Get your tickets, fool.
I'll probably end up having to wait till, like, Tuesday to get mine. I was gonna just use the pass for it, but then they mentioned the Thor marathon.
Well, literally just go in, like, and be like, okay, can I use this for the Thor marathon? No? Alright, I'm gonna use this for Doctor Who. Like,
exactly.
That's what I would do.
That's the thing. I had to wait to use it. I would have just gotten the Thor pass right away, but they said I had to wait because they're not accepting vouchers for that pass yet.
Like, right.
As of last Tuesday, you could only buy it.
Right.
But
yeah.
She said it'll eventually happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. So I would just go in and then be like, hey, are you? And I mean, if it's gonna take too long, you might as well just buy the Doctor Who one because it's going to sell out soon, I think.
Yeah, it's gonna, that's a thing, too. And I may just use it on the Doctor Who thing to be in
with. I would just do it, because if you can't use it for Thor, I mean, I would get it as soon as you possibly can, because, yeah. I mean, I don't know how big of a fan base this area has, but,
well,
and there are a lot of theaters showing it, especially in the cities, but, like, I still think it's going to sell out.
The woman did tell me that there weren't a ton of seats left for it.
Yeah.
So, like, if I may just kind of get a ride to the theater maybe, like, tomorrow after I do everything I got to do, or Sunday, before my the show that I'm doing Sunday, and just get a ticket.
Yeah, I would just do that. Just get your Doctor Who ticket, because that's what's going to sell out before Thor.
The Thor,
and it's literally only one day.
Yeah, the Thor marathon, I can just...
You could literally do that at home.
Yeah, I could literally get that ticket at home.
You could literally watch Thor, the Avengers, and then go see Thor 2. Like, it's not... The only nice thing about it is it's on the big screen. Like,
yeah.
There's not... And I mean, granted, it's also the same thing with the Doctor Who special. It's going to be on TV on the 23rd, but there's a difference. Because you get to see it in the theaters, and I will never see it again in the theaters another 50 years, so. Probably, so it's a more important thing, I think, to me. But.
Like I said, I'm going to see if they still got tickets to the Doctor Who thing. I might use the pass for that, and then I might buy my ticket for the Thor feature.
Yeah. I mean, that just seems like the better plan.
Yeah, it's like, again, though, that's, you know, if they think there might still be tickets come Tuesday for both, then I'll just use it on the Thor one and then buy the Doctor Who ticket.
Unless they're not accepting the coupon, then you just, yeah, be like, just the Doctor Who one.
Yeah, then it's like Doctor Who, for sure. Totes.
Yeah.
And I do want to bring up something. I don't think... Like, I'm still hooked to Grand Theft Auto Online.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is so fantastic. And me, Royce, Hammy, Dark Fox from Markout Radio... Greenway from Markout Radio, and Mitch, and other people from Mark Radio were all on PS3 playing the game. If you got an Xbox 360 and have the game, you can play with the 360 and 420 crew, and I think there's other people on MOR who have an Xbox. But
basically, if you have a PS3, you're all playing so that you can't play with JJ. That's what I think happened. I think you're all just trying to avoid JJ, because you know... As soon as he got the chance, he would shoot you in the head and steal your car.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, though. Like,
yes.
When I chose which system I was going to get, because listen, it would have been $50 less last week to buy a Xbox 360. I'm not sure whether that would come with a hard drive, of course, but I could have paid $50 less to go the Xbox 360 route. The thing is, though. The Blu-ray player I had, piece of shit, doesn't play some movies, so I didn't mind spending the extra $50 to get a PS3, which would then also replace my Blu-ray player. And now every DVD and every Blu-ray plays no problem.
Huh.
Whereas when I had the Dark Knight trilogy when it came out, when I had that, the Batman Begins disc wouldn't play on the regular one. Then I got a PS3 at that time, which I promptly sold. And that would play the Batman Begins disc. So my Blu-ray player that I have just doesn't play certain Blu-rays. And I'm starting to think that's why it was returned and thus available to buy used at Best Buy when I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that's why. So, with that, we're going to do some stories here. Do you guys have anything from the week that would relate to the Nerd Hour?
The new X-Men trailer.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Holy shit.
Oh, that was awesome, actually.
It is insane. Oh my god, I have a $10 subs reward. Holy shit, I totally forgot.
There you go.
Well, I already bought my ticket, but I'll use it for Thor.
Yeah, use it for Thor. And, there's so, like, and then next year is going to be just Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Captain America, I'm so excited.
Captain America is going to be fantastic.
That is literally my, like, most anticipated thing.
I'm telling you, Captain America is going to be the best of the bunch of the Phase 2 movies.
It's going to be. I can feel it.
And C-Mac is saying now he needs to sell his 360 and get a PS3 just because of that. I'm guessing either to play with all of us or to not play with JJ.
probably both. Could it be both?
Well, yeah, both it could be both. Good. It could be both. Well, you will just assume that it's both. We'll
I'm
play
finding the trailer, so keep talking.
All right.
Found it.
All right. I actually found it too, so.
I'm going to post it in the chat.
Mostly working this week, and the only Nerd Hour related thing I already showed to Punchy.
Oh, yeah. The, wait, was there something you showed me, or were you talking about the cosplayer?
Yes, the cosplayer who does porn and also cams and has her own comic that just came out.
Yeah, that's like a triple threat for lonely guys.
Yeah. She...
Also, I just want to say about this trailer, the only part that bothers me is when the music changes halfway through, because it's like such an awkward cut each point of the music.
Which is weird, coming from a movie made by 20th Century Fox, but I'm going to play it now. So
okay.
Here we go. For those of you who clicked the link, actually, I'm going to give you guys a couple seconds to click the link. We are at the 000 mark in the thing.
You don't say.
Hey, I'm giving them a reference point, jerk.
Guys, we haven't started it yet, so it's at zero.
Actually, well, you never know. Some people will put something at like once, you know, a couple seconds in, whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm at 00.1. So, I need to backtrack. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, dick. But, actually, you know, before I do that, I'm going to play the retard game. Retard.
Oh.
2, 4, 5, 6. I am waiting to see how long the lag is.
I don't know. Maybe nobody's going to answer about it. Because, I don't know, because he literally just answered both before.
So far, it's like a 25.
Maybe six. Nobody knows this game.
No, they do. Trust me. The people in chat know the game. All right. Wow. 21-second lag.
Wow.
This is a 360 and 420 bit they do, and I just do this to 21 seconds of lag. Oh, he typed it 5 seconds. All right. So 16 seconds of lag. When we do the retard, basically it's JJ will say retard, and then once someone hears it, they type retard into the chat and post it, and that's how they know what the lag's like. So, Western Echo, instead of saying retard, says Susan Dean.
Oh.
So, all right, 16-second lag. So, if you're listening, press play now. If you're listening, press play now. I will give you 16 seconds so everything's all synced up, audio and video. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Waiting 16 seconds. Tell me when to actually hit play.
Hit play.
It's just a green screen with preview.
I just realized I was on mute.
Sunshine theme in every trailer.
Marvel logo.
What's the last thing you remember?
Oh, shit.
I had a glimpse into the past. You're going to have to do for me what I once did for you. You'll need me as well.
Bishop.
Bishop.
Warpath Link.
Side by side to end this war. Before it ever begins.
Oh,
so,
man.
Wake up in a young body and then what?
Find me. Convince me of all of this. It's got to take the two of us.
And where do I find you?
A different path. A darker path.
Logan, I was a very different man. Lead me. Guide me. Be patient with me.
Patience isn't my strongest suit.
I don't want your suffering. I don't want your future.
Oh, shit.
Okay, this is amazing because it's not like... It's not your standard superhero film. It's not like where they try to be epic, like with The Last Stand. They were trying to be presenting this strong front and blah, blah, blah. This is looking to be like an actual cinematic epic. And I don't mean that as in the douche way of saying epic. No, I mean that as in like sort of an odyssey or something.
I know exactly what you're saying.
It's actually epic in scale.
Yeah,
as far as
and,
the film
and
goes.
And the magnitude.
Like, it's not just, oh my god, it's so epic, I'm like tweaking over here. No.
There's a magnitude to the storyline where it's affecting everything.
And this feels like something where, yeah, there is the other stuff. There is the first class movies, which a lot of people said were good. There were obviously the first two X-Men movies, which were great. But this seems like you don't have to see any of that to get it. It just seems like this is something that's like, shit has gone wrong in the future. They are in a bad place in the past, which obviously anyone who's young is in a bad place. Right. So you have to go and fix everything while you're dealing with the pissed off people on all fronts.
Yeah. Wow. I just, words cannot describe that. Even 20th Century Fox is getting their shit together with Marvel movies.
Although there's a part of me that still hopes, that still wants, 20th Century to go over, not only because you can combine the continuities, but also because Bryan Singer does an amazing job, and and Fox fucked him over so much previously with these movies, like with, when they had the third one without him.
And the shitty Wolverine movie.
I love that they basically decided to be like, you know what? No, we're ignoring anything that you did in X-Men The Last Stand. This is our continuity. It takes place from the second one onwards.
Yep.
And not only that, but it's just sort of like, all right, you have the Whedon film. You have the current Marvel, like Iron Man, Avengers, blah, blah, blah.
That universe, which,
even though I want everything to be combined, let's face it, at the beginning of Marvel Comics, those groups were all separate.
I know, which is fine.
Could you imagine
5 years from now if we have X-Men versus Avengers?
Oh, I would love that.
In the theater?
But
that would be insane. Civil War would be insane.
Right now, there's that other stuff, which has sort of a comedic sell. Now, I just saw Iron Man 3, which, people complained about the Mandarin. I actually liked their idea with that.
And I think that it was good in execution is why, there were people who liked it because Ben Kingsley nailed it.
Yeah. There is the darker tone with those movies, but there's still a lightheartedness. Whereas this, it's very dark. You can tell that Fox is Bryan Singer is like, Joss Whedon always has this sarcastic tone where shit is real, but, you can be flippant and call Thor Point Blank.
Yeah. You know what it felt like?
Bryan Singer's just going, no, fuck this. The world is a dark and scary fucking place. And if the 20th Century movies combined with the other movies, I would love that because I would just love to see Joss Whedon and Bryan Singer come up with something together.
You know what this was? You know what this trailer reminded me of? Take the Christopher Nolan Batman movies and feel only. But have someone else writing the dialogue.
Yes.
The trailer had that kind of a feel to it.
Okay, you know how everybody was like, Dark Knight is the quintessential superhero movie. It is exactly what blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It was like all hailed as like, it's the superhero movie. It's the movie that shows you everything that you need.
The Dark Knight was great, but
I think this is going to be that movie.
This will be that movie. And before that, Iron Man, I think, was better. And what was the other one? The Avengers, I'd put over that.
The Avengers is the ultimate team up superhero movie.
Yeah, I would put. But
I think it's the first team up superhero movie technically.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not a movie with a team, but I think it's the movie.
Now here's the thing, though.
You want to give as far as any ensemble like that?
Well, I mean, it's like you have X-Men, which is. I wouldn't call that a team up because it's this ensemble cast.
Yeah.
Avengers, I would call a legit team up because all these people have been in previous franchises and they all come together.
True. Well, anyway, no other movie is going to beat it, so it is the team up movie anyway.
Unless they somehow make a Justice League movie and they somehow do it right.
I don't know. Every time I hear about a Justice League movie, I kind of roll my eyes. I don't even know.
But again, though, also with The Dark Knight, two movies I would put even with it are X2.
Yeah.
Actually, three movies. X2, X-Men First Class, and Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2 was great. That was... Everyone mentions how, you know, sequels are always worse than the original. That was one where I honestly can say, you know, I liked Spider-Man, but Spider-Man 2 was just amazing, and then yeah. Spider-Man 3.
I've just got to say, like, it's not that, because, again, every couple years, they change your tune of which movie's better, because it's just the newer movie. And I don't think it's so much that The Dark Knight's better than X2 or Spider-Man 2. It's more so that it was the last one of the three to come out, so that before, like, the movies that I put above it came out, that was the newest, oh, this is the way to make a comic book movie.
I think also, like, why people, like, hail it so much is the tone. Because it's, like, the first, it's one of the ones that really, it has that darker tone, and...
Also because fuck Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also has that darker tone. And so, like, with that, they,
Schumacher when he isn't doing The Lost Boys.
Yeah. And so, anyway, so, like, with that tone, like, they're always, like, I don't know, now because of it, like, critics are always harping on, like, things that are too optimistic, and for some reason that bothers me a lot more.
And that's a weird thing, because not all movies should be dark and dreary.
No, but that's the problem, is that they always seem like that's the focus. And, like, I guess because the world's a shitty place, and, like, I know, but I don't need to go to every movie that reminds me of that.
Yeah, like, there's an overabundance of dark, brooding superhero movies now, and that shouldn't be the case.
Like, they tried to force that tone in Man of Steel, and that's what bothered me about a lot more about it.
Yeah, that was
that it wasn't allowed to be a Superman movie.
I was
just going to say this. It's a bit fucked up when I can see a horror movie that's more upbeat than modern Like, I just watched something from the 1930s, The Old Dark House. Do you know what that movie... It's like an hour... It's an hour and 12 minutes long. It's got Boris Karloff as a mute alcoholic. It's got its whimsical moments. It's got its darker moments. But at the end, it's pretty... It's... More people live at the end of this horror movie than at the end of The Dark Knight. And by that, I mean... This is a house with a mute, alcoholic, abusive Boris Karloff, a pyromaniac, and, you know, and a bunch of other people. And the house gets lit on fire, but it still goes out. And at the end, you know, even though it's ambiguous with the killer, with the guy who was trying to kill everyone, all of the people who would have been victims are alive.
Yeah. I want to reply to what Weston Echo said. He said, after decades of campy superhero movies, I welcome the dark and dreary one. Sorry. No, that's not the point we're making. Because
No. Yeah. I welcome it, too.
Yeah.
Dark and dreary, then there's dark and dreary for dark and dreary's sake.
It's yeah.
Like, yes.
Think of it like edgy comedy radio being edgy for edginess's sake. It's
annoying and it's tacky.
Yes, and again, though.
And it's too much.
Yeah. Putting dark and dreary into a superhero movie is fine if it fits. Like, Days of Future Past, it fits. Batman, it
and
fits.
And even, here's the thing.
Watchmen.
With Days of Future Past, wait, sorry, just before you continue. With Days of Future Past, like, even in that, it's not nighttime all the time.
Yep.
It's not dark and gritty. Like, it still has this very much appeal of a superhero movie, and it's still about, you know, somebody coming back from this dark place to lead. And so, yeah. So there is this hopeful tone, even with it being so dark and gritty. Yeah. I mean, not necessarily gritty. Gritty's annoying to me. But, like that, just that word. Anyway, like, so, but, like, it has this dark thing, but, like, it still has this, like, tone of hope. Like, it's not too, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's, like, it's dark, but it's not too dark, and it's not dark for darkness' sake.
There are people who understand how to handle dark, and there are people who don't. Like, all right, let's say you have a Deadpool movie. Now, with someone who understands dark...
Should be dark humor.
Yeah, not dark and dreary, but dark humor.
Hold on. With a Deadpool movie, with someone who understands when to be dark and when not, that could work, especially when you have the beginning of what became Deadpool. You know, he has cancer. That's pretty dark.
You know,
he's willing to expose his body to government experiments to get rid of his cancer. That's dark.
You know what I think Deadpool
but
should...
Someone who doesn't would try to make Deadpool into a tragic character dealing with insanity instead of someone who revels in it.
Well, here's the thing, though. First off, to finish my point, the problem is, though, when they make a movie dark and dreary, a superhero movie, that it's not supposed to be. You know,
like Superman, like Man of Steel.
Like Superman.
Like, they were forcing that tone on it when a Superman movie, to me, should be, like, light and, like, about... And they tried to make it about hope. Like, they overdid that, like, word and dialogue, like, 1,000 fucking times.
Superman, Superman 2. Good example. Yeah. Balance of light and dark.
Yes.
It was serious. But then everyone thought, oh, Superman's the good guy. Superman's really light. And then they introduced Richard Pryor. And then they did Quest for Peace. And then, yeah.
Yeah. And here's... Whoa, what happened?
I don't know.
I heard myself for a second there.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Oh, yeah,
it's echoey down here.
Oh, it's echoey down there. Do you have speakers on, Cornax? Do you have headset? We gotta get you.
I don't have a headset on mainly because my headset tends to fuck with things.
Oh, all right. We gotta get you aboard when
aboard. Well, I got a new job, so I'm working on that.
Well, I'm also working on getting Hammy's old board, so you're gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna send you this one.
I'm working like 28 hours a week, so.
Oh, getting work now. Nice. All right.
So what I'm saying with like Man of Steel is like, they could have had a good balance of it, where like you have General Zod and you have this like destruction of Krypton, and you have all that stuff. But then you need the light moments in there. You need this to be about hope. And, like, you can say that that's the theme and you can keep shoving it down our throats. But overall, the tone of it and the way that it's shot and the style of it, it's not what you're trying to tell me. You're going for the dark and gritty because that's the universe that you think works. And it doesn't all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what bothered me, like, critically, like, with Pacific Rim, where they would harp on that it was too, like... Oh, it's too, like, optimistic. Like, why can't a movie be optimistic? Like, why does it always have to be?
I'm just going to point this out, because this is from a video game standpoint. You guys ever play Fallout?
Yes.
The entire series is about a post-nuclear wasteland where people are mutated. They're killing each other. They're cannibals. They're slavers. They're child killers. But it still has a certain levity about itself. And at the end of the game... You know, granted, there's always bad things that can happen, but there's always some semblance of hope.
Yeah, like, there's an optimism on it.
Even with the downer ending with the first one, where it was he wandered off by himself. Guess what? In the sequel, turns out he met a bunch of people. They settled down. They made their own tribe. Second one, more of the same. Third one, guess what? He purifies the water. New Vegas, depending on what ending you get. Well, you pretty much can rule New Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have something to play here because we mentioned Deadpool. So you guys want to hear an update from director Tim Miller, who's going to attach to direct the movie when they finally start making it?
More than life itself.
All right, here we go. As it loads. And there's an ad. Son of a bitch. Just, you know, a couple seconds. This ad fortunately gives the option to skip. All right, here we go.
If you're anything like me, you've spent days and nights wondering if we'll ever get to see that much talked about Deadpool movie and what it's going to take to actually get this character his own solo movie on the big screen. I talked to the project's director, Tim Miller, for an update on all things Deadpool, who confirmed that they're still in the game with a revised script from Zombieland writers Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, and that Deadpool is closer to getting that green light than it was just a mere 2 months ago. Now, although it's still a waiting game for Deadpool, fans of the Marvel anti-hero will be happy to know that the team behind the project is still very passionate about bringing this movie to the big screen. Best summed up in a quote from Miller himself, who said, "We will never give up!" Exclamation point. He also went on to say Deadpool is still alive and we're just waiting for the studio to embrace what an amazingly f***ing awesome film this would be. Ryan is ready, I'm ready, the fans are more than ready, we just need that elusive green light. Ryan Reynolds recently told Yahoo Movies that despite the fact that a Deadpool movie with a hard R rating might be considered a risk, he's confident that the film will get made eventually and that they are presenting it to Fox as a project with a smaller budget that would have a minimal impact on the studio in order to get the movie made the way it should be. The actor also described the film as being very meta, with Deadpool knowing he's a comic book character in a movie. So let's break down that fourth wall. Tell me, fellow fans, what do you think of the latest news on Deadpool? Leave a comment.
There we go. So we're Fox, or we just gave them praise for Days of Future Past, but they're being dicks about greenlighting this movie.
Of course, it's always how it goes.
We could always wait until their license runs out and then throw them over to the other guys.
Like, it's hilarious, though, because initially the studio greenlit the movie and were like, yeah, we're doing this, and now they're not right now. They're taking their sweet time doing it, and everyone's ready. No, we just got to wait for Ryan Reynolds to take more disappointing projects on so that by the time the movie's finally made, he's got really no clout box office-wise.
You know what? Ryan Reynolds has had some flops, let's be honest, but
R.I.P.D.
Yeah, but that, let's face it, that was supposed to be a fun little jaunt.
That was a paycheck movie.
Yeah, totally. For him and fucking...
Well, I'm not saying he's doing, you know, I'm not saying that was in the whole sense of one for them, one for me. That wasn't his one for me. I'm just saying it was a goofy movie, whatever. Did we really I'm not saying this excuses it, but did you really expect it to be the next Citizen Kane?
No, but like, it was definitely a huge flop. No doubt. It would have been the flop of the summer if the Lone Ranger hadn't bailed it out.
Good point.
Like,
that kind of makes it worse, doesn't it?
It did not do well.
Like, well, the reason why I say that makes it worse is, at least if it was the flop of the summer, it could have that claim to fame.
Western Echo asks, what were Ryan Reynolds' not flops? Well, Waiting, for example, made a lot of money. Pretty sure the Amityville Horror movies made money. Blade Trinity made money. Granted, not all of these are starring vehicles, but you get the gist. He does make non-flops, but he's one of those guys who will also take a paycheck.
Well, yeah, the rule is one for them, one for me.
Yeah. Granted, critically and fan reaction-wise, X-Men Origins Wolverine did not do well and was upstaged by its sequel, but it did make money.
Which was way better.
Huh? Yeah.
Which was way better.
But again, though, the Wolverine movie he was in made money. And there was buzz about him playing Deadpool because, let's face it, before they sewed his mouth shut and all that,
he was doing awesome.
Ryan Reynolds did really well as the character, but I feel like the modern incarnation of Deadpool, they've kind of tailored to having the kind of wit that Ryan Reynolds has showed on screen.
Well, that's the thing. Once everyone started saying Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, Deadpool started becoming more like Ryan Reynolds, so that people were like, all right, let's finally do this.
I mean, in the comic, before this even happened, before he was even cast in X-Men Origins Wolverine, they've had Deadpool say that if his face wasn't all messed up, he would look like Ryan Reynolds.
Well, no, I believe the line was, I look like a cross between Ryan Reynolds and a Shar-Pei.
Yeah, something like that. But the Ryan Reynolds name has been dropped in regards to the character before he was even cast as a character. So, it's an example of perfect casting, which is what you need to do to make a movie do well. So, you know, and listen, sometimes you'll take on a role that's money. Listen, if you're an actor, you got to make the money because you never know when you're going to lose it. Fortunately for him, in his last divorce, the woman he divorced was also a successful actress, so he didn't have to worry about that. But still, you got to bank your money because you never know what happens after your fame is up.
It is kind of funny that he's kind of a part of the Marvel films on one side, and she's part of the Marvel films on the other side.
Yep. And they probably at this point despise each other.
I doubt that.
No, apparently...
on good terms.
Huh?
He might be on good terms.
No, I heard... I was reading about this because apparently when he was filming Green Lantern, it was a daily thing of them having arguments, like screaming matches on the phone.
Oh.
Oh.
And like there were a lot of people saying that, it wasn't really his fault. And listen, that means something, because I would have, in a heartbeat, defended Scarlett Johansson over Ryan Reynolds. But, yeah, apparently from all accounts, she was just being a complete cunt to him.
I'm just going to say this. I kind of believe that he wasn't really at fault, because how can you really be angry if you're boffing Scarlett Johansson? But then something really bad must have happened if you were, in fact, angry while boffing Scarlett Johansson.
And, Wesoneka, Aria, which day of the Doctor when are you going to?
It's the 25th.
There's two. There's a 7:30 and a 10.
Oh, they added another time?
Yep. Wow, what time is yours?
7:30.
Oh, all right. There's a 7:30 and 10. Well, that's good. Then that means there's probably going to be a ticket available. Then,
oh, man, now I want to go to the 10.
You can probably exchange your ticket. No, you can probably...
7:30 is going to be filled with the annoying people who want to go the day before because they have work and school. Oh, but 10 is also probably... I don't know. It's probably going to be annoying. I hope nobody brings sonic screwdrivers and fucking holds them up during the movie.
I totally won't do that during whatever showing.
Like, oh, it's the fucking Hunger Games when they fucking held up their hands during that midnight showing. Oh. Oh my god, do you know how happy I was when that projector broke? I have never been happier in my life.
So, 7:30 is completely sold out, but you can probably exchange your ticket, Ariel.
Oh, yeah, I'm at 7:30, but I gotta check with the other person I'm going with.
Maybe, Western Echo, maybe we'll just go at 10 o'clock. We'll see.
It's 7:30 sold out.
Completely.
Maybe you get your 10 o'clock tickets. And if I can exchange it, I will. If I can't, I'm going 7:30, I guess.
Yeah. Then me and Westerneck will be there. And then I'll do that. And then I'll get my ticket for the Thor thing. And then I win.
Hooray.
Because fortunately, if I get this new job I get, it won't start until the 19th. Which gives me plenty of time.
Yeah.
So, 10 o'clock it is, Western Echo, buddy, pal. Getting at whatever time we get out of that movie won't be the latest me and Western Echo have been out from somewhere. When he would go down to Hammy's studio and we would do the brains.
You know what we should do? It's 2 hours long. Never mind.
What?
I was going to say we should go to Applebee's, but...
No, after. That's a bad idea, trust me.
Why?
Well, there's as everyone knows, I came to More Like Radio with the Cousin Joe show.
Oh, yes, yes.
Applebee's is where where Joe takes people when he fires them.
Oh!
Yep.
But Applebee's has such good food.
But you see, though, for me and Ariel, Applebee's is where we would go after a shift at work because it was half off appetizers.
True.
At the time.
See, so there's good memories there.
Yeah, there's good memories for us. It's because it's not good for ex-co-hosts of Joe Coletta. Doesn't mean it's bad for everyone else.
Why did it have to be Applebee's? Why couldn't he take somebody to some no-name diner and then kill them in the back like everybody else?
We live like 4 minutes away from Applebee's.
Yeah.
Everybody lives 4 minutes away from an Applebee's.
I'll just point this
they
out.
They are fucking everywhere. What?
Yeah.
Of all the co-hosts that have truly permanently left, the only one that has truly left is the one that didn't go to Applebee's with him.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. She didn't go to Applebee's with him. And I may have just said the name of the person.
You think?
Who currently works at who's currently getting paid in radio. Well, I believe she was hired, but...
Anyway. Yeah, she was. She's now the board op.
Yes. No, I got to point this out, because, when there's an MLR event and I don't have a car, Dennis is usually the one because he lives right by me. One night we did Brain Stew, and this was the one where we just... It was Royce and Marie also in studio. And this, the epic tearing apart live from the morgue. So we do the episode. We leave. And JJ does a show after that, all that. And so we're like, fuck, we got to listen to this. We went to a diner, sat, chilled, and then on the way out from the diner, walking to Western Echo's car, I roll my ankle on the curb and fucking re-aggravated a knee sprain.
You're fucking... You with the legs! Come on!
Dude, yeah, my left leg is just fucked up. Like, I've got, like, tree trunk legs, but I've got, like, thin ankles. It's the worst. Like,
I've
legit broken my ankle, and yeah. I have stronger legs than you.
Like, I've sprained my left ankle, but I've never broken it.
My leg snapped at a 90-degree angle.
All right, relax, Joe Theismann.
Hold on, guys. I'm going to open a bag of Sun Chips. So if it sounds like the world is exploding,
she's opening
just
up.
FYI.
It'll sound like me crinkling this Miss Vicky's bag.
Yeah. For fuck's sake. All right. So we're going to do a top 10 list, and then we're going to go to break. This is another. Here's one thing. If you've been listening to the Nerd Hour for a while, you know that we like talking about lists that IGN.
We love making lists more than they like writing them. What?
Ouch. And you know the funny part is that's probably been said on radio where people get paid to do it.
Ah, when I said that sarcastically. But, we're so clever.
But they say
we deserve Emmys.
She said it sarcastically. They say it seriously, non-ironically.
Probably worse.
But yeah, probably.
That's probably been said on Live from the Morgue.
Oh, of course. No, that's too good to be said on Live from the Morgue.
They do enough lists.
Yeah, good. But here's the thing. What we do is
Are we going to do a list of a list?
Maybe.
Top 10 lists?
Possibly. Top 10 lists of lists.
The lists of the top 10 lists.
Somewhere on Cracked.
Yes. So one thing we like to do, and it's been a staple of the show before Stupid Live from the Morgue was formed, I would point out, we read IGN lists, and then we debate whether we should agree with them. We don't make up our own lists. We just critique the lists. And usually with IGN lists, they're very biased, or sometimes they come off as cantankerously fanboyish.
Yeah. They're very, very biased.
Or sometimes they're specifically choosing their number one to piss a lot of people off just because they know that people will share it, like, look at this idiot, and thus get more views.
Yeah, that could be the case, too. Now, Halloween was yesterday, so I figured a way to cap off covering that kind of stuff. Top 10 horror movies that should never have been made. This is a tough list to do. So
yeah, because you'll find someone who can defend almost all of them.
I don't know. The first one I'm going to read is indefensible. Well, the first couple I'm going to read are indefensible.
Oh my god, I cannot wait for the Hunger Games movie, just FYI.
I can't wait for that either, but
it looks so fucking good.
Number 10 on this list. Book of Shadows, The Blair Witch Project 2.
Oh god, no one defends that movie. No one that I know.
Exactly, it's indefensible. Here's what they say. This is not one of Joe Berlinger's proudest days, said Roger Ebert's documentation of 2000 foray into fiction, Book of Shadows.
Documentarian.
Documentarians. My bad. Anyway. The Blair Witch Project 2. It's a polite yet apt observation, so uninspired is the film, which completely rejects the original found footage style in favor of semi-dramatized slasher pap, a mix of terrible acting, bland characterization, and overly expository dialogue, secured the film a place at the bottom of the Target bargain bins the world over. Hey, I never saw that in Target bargain bins. We don't even have. They didn't even have Target.
Not anymore. Now it's Walmart bins.
Yeah.
Hey. Don't rag on Walmart bins. I got a copy of Heat in there.
Oh, all right. Well,
I've gotten some excellent movies in Walmart bargain bins. Yeah, they're amazing.
But there's a lot of shit. It's like
Inception, finding Glorious a good. Glorious Bastards. The original Terminator. Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, I got a couple. I got a bunch of good shit from that.
All right. So yeah, they say this one sucked, which is true. Now the next one though. Actually, no. All right, never mind. The next one, I thought it was the older one, but no, it's the Stephen King's The Shining. Not the Jack Nicholson one. This one was the miniseries that was released, like, in 97.
I feel like I've seen this on Sci-Fi.
I haven't seen it, but there's been a review that the Nostalgia Critic did that I've been meaning to watch.
Now, here's what the guy said. Where to begin with Stephen King's own miniseries adaptation of The Shining? Admittedly, it was far from unwatchable and predictably adhered to King's book more faithfully than Stanley Kubrick's version did. But adaptations tend to be better handled by those with an impartial eye. Kubrick's Shining now...
Fact. That is fact.
Kubrick's Shining, now comfortably sitting in the annals of the greatest horror films of all time, is a deeply scary, moody journey into insanity. King's version, which has a proud ghost Jack show up at Danny's graduation years later, is perfectly palatable horror movie of the week.
What?
Well, that's from the book. Like, Stephen King, when he did this miniseries, stayed very faithful to the book in this... Which I think when he makes a miniseries, he does stay extremely faithful to the book.
Well, yeah, but, you know, there's some things that are just a little... All right. How cheesy did they make the whole ghost thing?
I don't know. I didn't see it. But I still would tend to disagree because even the guy in there says that it wasn't a bad movie. He just, for some reason, though, says it should have never been made. Yet, like, he... It doesn't sound like he's bashing the movie to the point where you would think that it shouldn't be made.
I think,
I feel like they said it shouldn't be made just because we already had an adaptation of it.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, all right, because I can see how the go. Because I'm seeing something on this list, it would be bad. But I'm thinking the whole Ghost Jack thing can be done right, like in the book. What I'm thinking is the reason it shouldn't have been made is because you had such a good and memorable one that no one's really going to look at this the same way. And the fact that you continue it past the point that it ends in the more famous movie, I think people will like it less. Yeah.
Now, next one is a remake.
Obviously, we were
talking about this one earlier.
The Amityville Horror.
Fuck that one.
The original Amityville Horror movie, released in 1979, was unremarkable, partially due to its hilariously histrionic performances, but mostly due to its fairly shoddy source material in the form of Jay Anson's sensational, quote mark, true story bestseller. So why, then, was a remake required in 2005? Because, I don't know, if you think that the original is really that bad, then you know what? Remakes should be made to make the original better. Not saying that it was, just saying. This one starred Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George as the Lutzes, who move into a Long Island house haunted by red-eyed pigs, invisible marching bands, and Susan Dean. And does little to define itself outside
of...
Wow,
this article really does say that. It's interesting.
And does little to define...
I can't believe it. Even IGN's ragging on them.
And does little to define itself outside of its predecessor often than introduce a terminally glum mood to its proceedings.
Live from the morgue.
Again, live from the morgue.
I'm telling you, this article has all these words in it. I'm not even making this up.
The next one on here...
Hold on. I just want to say, though, like... This is one of those things that I can see why it was made.
And Scrambler says it was pretty good for a miniseries about The Shining. So, think of that.
I appreciate that.
The next one, and this one I agree with, because... like this.
I've never even seen this one. I don't ever want to see this.
It was an unnecessary sequel to one of the best werewolf movies ever. That movie is An American Werewolf in Paris, which is inferior in many ways to An American Werewolf in London. Now, here's what he says. An American Werewolf in Paris shared little in common with its predecessor, An American Werewolf in London, other than the suspect claim that it was based on characters created by John Landis. While the original werewolf movie was a fun yet genuinely frightening flick, this one omits the cardinal horror-slash-comedy sin of being not very funny and loses its plot in excess of 90 special effects. We should just be thankful that Julie Delpy's career survived this so she could bring us the terrific Before Sunrise sequels. Makes sense.
You know, I can think of a worse werewolf movie. Even though I've never seen this one.
part of the Twilight movies.
Okay, that's
those don't even qualify.
No, yeah.
I was going to point out Howling 2.
But the first Howling was really good.
First Howling was good. Second one, Sturbo Werewolf Bitch, was kind of shit.
Good point.
And terrible. Look, the reason why it drives me nuts is specifically because instead of taking... All right. It's one thing where it's just sort of you don't make a sequel to something. You don't make a shitty sequel to something that was that great. But it's also because of how shitty it is.
Yeah.
Like, one thing, if you're going to reuse something from the end of the last movie to the beginning of this new movie, aren't you going to use stock footage?
You would think, but...
Right.
So,
they couldn't even use the stock footage at the beginning of Howling 2 from Howling 1.
Oh, shit.
And it's not like the actress doesn't look anything like that. The special effects on the werewolf doesn't look anything like the special effects from the original. You know, I can get it. The original stuff, like the stuff you make specifically for Howling 2, might not look the same, but at least keep the original stuff in there. Because. They had it for the actress who played the sister, right?
Yes.
That bitch doesn't appear really in any other scenes. You could have just used stock footage and then had a monster, then had the werewolf version of her if she comes back. Because you don't see her as a human ever again. Ever. Makes no sense.
Yeah. Also, Julie Delpy was in Three Colors White, I want to point out. Part of the Three Colors trilogy. Which is really good. But also, the next on the list, which is a movie that gained a lot of notoriety when it came out, probably for all the wrong reasons. And that would be The Human Centipede First Sequence.
Oh, God.
Now, here's the review. There are far more offensive horror movies out there than The Human Centipede, but few have grabbed the kind of mainstream attention that Tom Six's movie did. For this very reason, the film deserves a place on this list. Instead of seeking out classic video nasties or splatter, a lot of kids think that a guy relieving himself under the mouth of a woman surgically attached to his behind is the height of horror titillation. Please do the future generation a favor. Don't let your kids watch this movie.
Also, if I were to make a list of horror films that should have never been made, I think obviously the Human Centipede one, because yeah, they're deranged and they're fucking frightening as all hell, that idea. There's why. Just why. And then if I were to make a third one, a Serbian film.
Oh, yeah, Serbian film. That kind
of... Because I don't care if that's not considered a horror movie by some people. It's fucking horrific.
I've yet to see the movie.
I didn't even see it. I read a synopsis. Fucking freaks me out.
But next movie on the list, at number 5, The Rage, Carrie 2.
Oh, God.
Here's the explanation. We all should have known from the title that The Rage, Carrie 2 would be a disaster. Why The Rage? Why, for that matter, should a sequel exist to Carrie, considering the ending of the Brian De Palma movie, which involved her dying? But exist it does, thanks to rampant 90s sequelitis. The Rage, Carrie 2 is essentially a modernized remake of the original. Its characters reskinned with 90s attitude and bad tattoos. Although the troubled teenager, Rachel, has considerably more gumption than Sissy Spacek's vulnerable protagonist. That said, she still goes on a rampage and kills a whole bunch of her classmates, albeit one is more laughable than shocking. One that is more laughable than shocking. It certainly doesn't help that the movie continually flashes back to De Palma's effort, leaving us yearning for the power of the original.
Yeah, see, you know how I went on the rant about stock footage?
Yeah.
There's also the other point I should point out, which is if you are making a noticeably not as good movie. Granted, I know a lot of people seem to think that their movies are great. There are certain things where
you can tell the movie's not going to live up to a classic. You know, Carrie's a classic. And any sequel isn't also going to be a classic.
And I do want to point out, most of the movies after the Human Centipede are sequels or remakes to classics. So keep that in mind.
It's so when you include stock footage from the better one, you know, it's not going to make people really think of the connection. They're just going to think, why am I watching this movie? Especially if they've seen the first movie. If they haven't, well, they're just going to be alienated.
Yes. Now, the next one is historically bad. Jaws the Revenge at number 4.
Oh, Christ.
With Jaws 2 and 3 were far from critical darlings. They were, while, not with. There was enough Roy Scheider and hilariously horrible, terrible 3D effects spread across both to justify them as guilty pleasures. The fourth entry into the Jaws franchise, however, offered very little in terms of pleasure. Merely a series of frustrating plot holes, a horrifically fake-looking shark, and a too-good-for-this-but-I'm-doing-it-for-the-money performance from Lorraine Gray, who had the misfortune to return as Ellen Brody.
Oh, I remember this movie.
The film's biggest crime, perhaps, was that its shooting schedule prevented Michael Caine from accepting his Academy Award for his performance in Hannah and Her Sisters in Person.
That's fucking revolting, but here's the thing. I've seen this movie, and one thing that is infuriating, because it was pointed out to me, was when they mentioned out Brody's character being afraid of the shark, and that they have Helene Brody say, that's why he died. He died of fear. He was afraid it was going to come after him, or whatever. And then someone pointed out, you know, obviously the whole die of fear thing sounds bullshit. Then someone pointed out to me, you know, hey, this guy who fucking hunted these things, who faced no fear, you're going to tell me all of a sudden he was freaked out, even though he was never in the water ever again?
Yeah.
And that's what drove him to slowly go mad in his own head without, you know, acting out on it. And that's what caused him to just die. It's not only just stupid, it's an insult to the character.
It's a huge plot hole. Now, next one on the list. You guys might know this movie. It's become very much just a gag reel waiting to happen when it came out. The Wicker Man, the remake.
Not the bees! Not the bees!
Considering the 1973 cult fave Wicker Man already had some seriously silly stuff in it, I'm not sure what Neil LaBute was thinking when he decided to remake it with Nicolas Cage in the lead role. Was he abducted into Cage's spaceship and microchipped? Did Cage put a tinfoil hat on him and play Leaving Las Vegas on repeat while feeding him special brownies? We will never know. We can be sure, however, that LaBute's resulting fever dream is one of the most ridiculous horror films ever made. A supercut of Cage at his most manic, a YouTube gag reel waiting to happen. In fact, the best thing to come out of the Wicker Man remake was its alternate ending, which had Cage screaming, "Not the bees!" as a bee-filled helmet is placed upon his silly head.
Can we play it? It's on there. Can we play it?
I'll play it.
They say it shouldn't be named.
Cornex.
Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes! Ah! Ah!
I don't know what everyone's talking about. That movie is a masterpiece.
You know what? I have to agree with Ariel here. And I do think...
Cinematic masterpiece.
I think it
should be a Criterion collection.
I don't think it's a cinematic masterpiece. I will say
it is. It's an epic.
It's an epic.
It is a masterpiece. I will say this. The list is wrong. That movie should have been made. And I'll tell you why. Because it is precisely so ridiculous. And I think Nicolas Cage, you can make fun of him all you want. I think he realized how fucking stupid this movie was. And that is precisely why he played such an insufferable asshole. And such a just, you know, think of the character he played. You really think he didn't realize what he was doing?
I think he just does things.
Yes. So, the last two are a little longer explanations. The next one, a sequel. This one is The Exorcist II, The Heretic. I doubt anyone was surprised that The Exorcist II was conceived.
Exorcist.
Hey, listen, okay?
Exorcist. Oh, my God.
You know...
Could you imagine if there's a movie called The Exorcist?
I think they actually had something in... what was that movie with John Ritter where they were inside the channels channel hopping?
I don't know, but it would just be somebody on, like, spin bike screaming.
I'm pretty sure they actually did make that joke.
Oh, they probably did.
It was in a John...
I find it funny because this movie was brought up recently.
It was a John Ritter movie. Stay tuned.
Well, no, I meant The Exorcist 2 was actually brought up to me recently, mainly because you remember Lay It Down, the cosplaying cam girl, porn star, comic book hero person, right?
Yes.
She was dressed up as Reagan for Halloween.
Yep, I saw that.
You did?
Yes, I did. And yeah, stay tuned. They did do The Exorcist.
Aw, man.
So.
Well, I can't
Simpsons did it first.
Guys, the Jonas Brothers broke up.
Good.
That's a horror movie that should never have been made. That should be number one. What is this world? I don't want to live in this world. I can't. Oh.
Of all things I can say, I think that's saying the Jonas Brothers broke up is kind of one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
That if I had the Daniel Bryan yes clip, I'd be playing that right now. But anyway, regardless, I guess the one Jonas can start going to the Target again. But anyway.
Yeah.
But upon the sequel's release, there was probably a great deal
of... We'll be working at the Target soon.
Oh, good point. There was probably a great deal of surprise at its unmitigated failure as a sequel, or indeed, its failure to be entertainment of any kind at all. To try and explain why The Exorcist 2 is so bad is a task best left to a long-form writer. But to boil it down, it was born of cynicism and passed on to a director whose ambitions morphed it into the jangling ravings of a lunatic, as explained by co-producer Richard Lederer. What we essentially wanted to do... Led whatever his French-looking name is.
I enjoy saying these names.
What we essentially wanted to do with the sequel was to redo the first movie, have the central figure, an investigative priest, interview everyone involved with the exorcism, and then...
Then use unused stuff, because we wanted to save money.
Yes, and then fade out to unused footage, unused angles from the first movie, a low-budget rehash, about $3 million of The Exorcist. A rather cynical approach to movie... cynical approach to movie making, I'll admit, but that was the start. Holy fuck.
That really happened?
That's what they want.
He really said that?
He really said that.
Wow.
Now, the task to bring this miserable vision to life was handed to John Borman, a director who famously disliked the original. But his idea of what The Exorcist 2 would be was not as straightforward and admittedly not as cynical as Warner Brothers. The resulting film was an ambitious musing on good versus evil realized by mysticism, psychobabble, a grown-up Linda Blair in only her second role past The Exorcist, and James Earl Jones in a B-suit. It took everything that was good about the original, its temperance, its believability, and its fundamental ability to frighten us, and turned it inside out and upside down into something akin to a bad, phantasmagorial drug trip.
I look at it as a sort of 70s acid trip.
Yeah, well, still. The miscalculation on behalf of the director can probably be best explained by the apology he made after the film's release. The sin I committed was not giving the audience what it wanted in terms of horror. There's this wild beast out there, which is the audience. I created this arena, and I just didn't throw enough Christians into it.
I do like that that sort of allusion to the old Colosseum days.
Western Echo says, thank you, Ariel, for not letting stupid mumbling punchy get away with that.
Every time I do this, though, I kind of feel like an elitist, and then I feel bad.
Yeah, elitist. But
I'm not trying to, though. I'm just like, oh, I don't know.
Anyway, and also a horror movie that should have never been made from Justin to Kelly. Dennis, and I'll mention two others that Dennis said after I read the last one on this list, which is the remake of Psycho.
Oh, the shot for shot shitty one.
Yep. The Psycho remake is not a bad movie, and why should it be? It hits all the beats of Hitchcock's original almost to the letter. It is piously faithful. And while you could put director Gus Van Sant's recreation down to a fascinating cinematic experiment, the results are weak. Watered-down grape juice that looks like wine, Vince Vaughn simply isn't weird enough to play Norman Bates, and Anne Heche is far too wispy and slight to carry off the requisite confident sexuality of Marianne Crane. What else is new? There's an unnecessary masturbation scene in More Blood, and the whole thing is shot in color as opposed to black and white. Those are the differences.
Oh, okay.
But the real failure of Psycho 98 comes down to Van Sant's decision to make it in the first place. What exactly was he trying to do here? Suggest that, like long-standing Broadway shows, movies could be recast and slightly updated? Was he merely remaking the film so a new generation of moviegoers could see it on the big screen? Or was he suggesting that great movies shouldn't be remade, giving us an hour and a half's worth of explanation why? I really, really hope it was the latter. I kind of agree with that one. And, someone else made a list and made a good point, and this is one that Dennis mentioned. A Nightmare on Elm Street remake should be on there. That.
Yeah.
That should be on there.
So unnecessary.
A shit movie. They wasted any potential they had. The only real highlight was... Oh, shit. I'm trying to remember her name now. Help me out.
It's sad.
Rooney Mara.
Having Jackie Earl Haley in there.
Yeah, Rooney Mara was the bright spot of the movie. She was the only one who was acting in there. Everyone else sucked. Jackie Earl Haley could have been better, but it was such a bad script.
That's the problem. They wasted him.
They wasted him. He could have been a fantastic Freddy. They could have made sequels. But no, they wasted it. They wasted his potential.
Robert Englund looked at him and he said, Jackie Earl Haley is probably one of the only guys I would ever let give this role to.
Yep. But no.
That motherfucker knows this shit.
Scrambler. Hitchcock was a better remake of Psycho, and it only has 3 minutes of Psycho in it. It's got a point there. But yeah, like, and... The thing, though, it's not just the acting and the writing that makes the Nightmare on Elm Street remake bad. Let's not forget the just absolutely horrendous special effects. The just horribly fake-looking special effects. This was made in 2010, yet the computer effects look like they're made from 1999.
Let's not forget, instead of looking burned, Freddy just looked like he had a bunch of powdered cum on his face.
Well, no. You know what they were going for was him looking consistent with an actual burn victim.
It still looked like shit.
Well, like that, it looks too different than, like, the burns that Freddy has aren't usually how that you look after being burned.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but you know, I'm saying this. They did a shit job of making burns on his face.
Well, yeah, they were. I'm not saying it was good how they did it. I'm not saying the execution was good. I'm just saying that their plan was to make it so that he looked like what a burn victim would look like. You know, not like the pizza face that they would call Freddy. Now, you know what I mean? Like, they were trying for something, and they failed in execution.
Hold on. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. Let me get to the chat. All right. It's just the way it looked in how they filmed it with all the lighting and shit. It didn't look right. And I don't mean as in, you know, just like the burn idea is all right. And it was kind of, it looks a bit like a burn victim. But you're going to tell me That, okay, why is it posting? That doesn't look like he's sort of just a big blotch of white on his mouth.
Well, I mean, that's just the lighting. That's not the makeup effects.
Well, no, I know, but the makeup is supposed to be enhanced by the lighting. The lighting is supposed to enhance that.
No, I'm just saying that.
I know, but I'm just pointing out, if you have two things that are clashing in a way that looks like this, instead he just looks like Al Jolson.
Oh, right. God. Hold on. These guys also did a fucking top 10 terrible horror movies list. I kind of want to quickly go through... You know, I'm going to go through that list quickly when we come back from break, because we're overdue to take one. So, we are the Nerd Hour. We will be back, motherfuckers. Yeah, that's right. I said motherfuckers. We will be... as soon as I can get this back to where, the way it was, for fuck's sake.
Wow. All
right. We will...
Such radio. So good.
Well, I'm sorry if iTunes is finicky. This is their Nerd Hour. We'll be back.
Whores!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Here at More Like Radio, we're all radio professionals, especially Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. Marvel as he winds his way through the twists and turns of Skype.
Oh, you're about to get a Skype call.
Here we go. Answering the call.
So, yeah, not to interrupt this exciting hockey talk, but what's going on, guys?
And call not found, any drop me. That's fantastic.
It's under the impression this was a drunk show, not bore everyone that's listening show.
Well, I'm still in the process of drinking.
I think we lost Kevin, or Kevin decided to be lost.
You're still in the process of boring people.
And I just realized I put Dennis on hold somehow.
This is that nightmare that I've been having of at some point finally getting on call and talking to somebody and being on air and everybody else just dropping.
Dennis is back
there
now.
There you guys are.
Sorry, look, Dennis.
Wow, fucking radio professional over here doesn't know how to add people to conference.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Hi, this is Marianne from Lust and Love. Recently, we decided the show needed more dicks, so we found the manliest man we knew to fill the spot, Dark Fox.
I know this is weird, but my boyfriend broke up with me because my dick is too short. He praised me about my skills and all, but is this a really good reason for a breakup? Because it's really hurting me until now. I can't seem to forget all the memories we had together. I know this can't be the reason, or maybe because he met another guy. I really cannot get over him because once he told me, I love your dick, whilst he was stroking it. That's the reason I will never let go.
Lust and Love, now gayer than ever. And that's saying a lot considering we used to have Hammy on the show. Join us Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, it's your boy, the impact player, Mr. Philly Raya.
And, of course, your host with the most, Big JP.
And we are...
The Man Cave Radio Show!
Listen, check out our boys, The Sully Show, every Sunday from noon to 2, exclusively on...
MoreLikeRadio.com.
That's right. Check them out,
bitches.
You'll love them.
I bet you will.
Yep.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Oh,
Hey, everybody, this is Alexa. You can hear my Uncle Sean say terrible things on the Hippo Juice Show. Wednesday night from 7 to 9 p.m., followed by the Red Show from 9 to 11. And now mark out Radio with Big T and Dark Fox is on Wednesday, too. Join them during their new time slot, 11 to 1 a.m., only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, you.
Yes,
you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in the More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room. It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Yeah, we're back. We're back.
It's oh, quick.
Yeah, well, I figured we took the break late, so I figured we would. I'll check the music now. I figured we will just we would do a no song break, kind of like we did on Brain Stew today. But can I just before I get to this list that I found, I want to point out a couple things. First off, they're doing a reboot of Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, good.
Which could very well be strange. Now, of course, in this news also is the fact that the original will be released on Blu-ray, which means I'll probably be picking that up in the whenever it comes out.
Blu-ray whore.
Hey, listen, alright, so what if I want better image quality of my movies? But I don't know if that's that necessary of a remake, but still. And apparently they're doing a Pet Sematary one, which is just ridiculous. Now, I wanted to read this list because I want to see... I want to match it up to the one we just read.
Okay.
Or it, no, this is the ones that should have never been made. I gotta. There's another list. Top 10 terrible horror. Oh wait, hold on a second. For fuck's sake, really? Never mind, because it's the same fucking list. Just it's got one title on the link and another title when you go into the fucking story, because. That's not amateurish, IGN. That's not confusing at all. God, fucking...
Yes, it is.
No, I'm being sarcastic, but... For fuck's sake. Fucking amateurs. And yes, I directly meant to quote Christian Bale on that one. Now, I do just want to point out, as Cornax posts Ruby Renegade in chat to try to distract from whatever rant I'm going to do, I do want to...
I posted that a while ago, dude.
Oh, well, I just saw it. Anyway, you know what, like, this is a TV rant. Because when I was looking on Twitter during the break to just see if there was anything to read, pertinent to read on air, anything breaking, you know.
Besides Kells possibly being on By The Way podcast?
Oh, no, that will happen. That's actually going to happen.
I'm letting you take care of the advertisement.
Thank you. And her promoting it will be pretty good advertisement, too, because, like, she's literally got a lot of people who will probably download the episode to hear it, so there's that. But, you know, they do, like, advertisement tweets on your timeline once every while to advertise something.
Uh-huh.
The advertisement on mine was for that yet another horrible piece of shit reality show called Moonshiners. This is another one of those, hey, let's give rednecks a reality show type shows.
Didn't that last one they did end with one of them dying?
No.
Getting them arrested for drug charges?
No. First off, let's face it, they're all fucking actors. First off. They're all actors because there's no fucking way that they would just willingly put their faces on TV making moonshine. So they're definitely actors.
No, he's dead.
Well, no, the guy who's dead was dead well before they made the show.
I'm talking about MTV's Buckwild.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Moonshiners.
Okay, I was talking about another redneck show, specifically one that was mentioned on the Sully Show, Sundays, noon to 2.
There you go. Fuck Buckwild. That show looked horrible. Again, I avoid a lot of these shows, so I kind of help myself out there. But, Volmes corrected you, but, again, there's a delay, so... But, Moonshiners, first off, I don't get why people fall for this shit.
What the fuck is that?
Ruggedly durable Olympus. Yeah, what is that? Cornex. But, again, though, like, first off, why do people think rednecks are so funny?
Ha, they're so stupid. We're much smarter than her. We can feel like elitist people. Let's laugh at them even though we're dumber than they are because we're watching this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the stupid one? The person on the show or the person laughing at that person's expense? Just
exactly.
Like...
You know, actually, this is going to sound kind of douchey, but Tina Fey had like this really great quote where she's like, you can always tell how smart someone is by what they laugh at.
Exactly.
And I was like, that's a very true statement.
Like, I question the sense of humor of people who laugh at this shit. Because it's not good. It's not.
It's kind of, like, I mean, granted, I've laughed, like, at mean things. Like, I've obviously said mean things and laughed about it, and we've all done it. But this, to me, seems like it's just tacky. Like, you're laughing at somebody's expense. But not in, like, not like a genuine, like, busting balls way.
Yeah. And listen, there's trash reality shows that I watch. I admit it. I don't really laugh that hard. But, like, there's... Like, for example, I find Storage Wars interesting. I think I've mentioned this one.
Well, I think there's a difference. You're not laughing at these people. You're just like, oh, that's cool that they found that. Or, oh, that's interesting. Like,
yeah. Anything, you're laughing with Barry.
Exactly.
Exactly. And, all right... Hardcore Pawn, another example. Granted, this is another one where it's exploiting a group to make yourself feel better, but still, at least...
Wait, do you have a guy for that?
Huh?
You have a guy for that?
What?
Well, and I gotta call my guy for that, and then I'll tell you a gross underestimate for your thing.
Alright.
And then tell you, I'll only give you $1,000. It's worth 6,000. I'll only give you 1,000.
Well, yeah, well, that's what they do at these places because they gotta make money on it, but yeah. Which I get, you know, but yeah, some of the he lowballs people and like the thing is though, the people who go to that place in Detroit, they're so hard up for money they usually take it.
I know. Oh, you know what show I really like? I think it's Bad Ink. It's on. I want to say it's A&E or AMC anyway. But it's like people who have really shitty tattoos.
That is fantastic.
And it's in Vegas. So it's these guys who they literally walk around and are like, yo, your tattoo looks like shit. Here's my business card. Come to my thing and we'll cover it up. And they do cover-ups.
That is awesome.
And it's actually really interesting because then there's like, you get backstories on people's like stuff that they got and you're just like, yeah, it's really awful.
I hope they do a better job of covering up tattoos than the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club do.
Oh my god. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take this black shit and just cover your fucking arm.
I'm just going to burn your tattoo off in season one.
It'll be fine. It's fine. Well, that's because he was supposed to get it blacked out, but he didn't.
Yeah, good point. But,
and he had the choice. They could cut it off or they could burn it off.
And he chose the torch.
Which, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it would suck.
Because what are you more likely to survive?
Good point. Either way, though, that sucks. But,
horrible.
And another one, Pawn Stars, another pawn shop show. I like that one.
I like Face Off, like the makeup, the special effects makeup competition.
That one does look cool, but like it's weird though. You look at Pawn Stars and Hardcore Pawn because they're two that can be compared directly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's like a million of that. There's like a million tattoo ones and then there's like a million.
But like
Hardcore Pawn, as douchey and stupid as they get, with the obviously they're playing it up for the cameras.
Well, yeah.
That's as close as you're going to get to a pawn shop as anything. Yeah, I'll lowball you and give you $5, then you get on my hair because you need to buy something.
Yeah. But, like, Pawn Stars, for example, though, You actually learn something watching Pawn Stars.
Oh, yeah. That's why. That's probably one of the only reasons it's on history.
Scramble says neither of those was a good choice. I don't know what he's referring to. But regardless, though, like I was saying, though, but there's shows that just have no redeeming qualities, that are just so popular with people. Here Comes Honey Boo Boo is a gigantic example of it.
Of what, people laughing at other people?
Yeah. And it's not even funny. It's not. Just, we, like, and this is why the guys from South Park nailed it on the head when they did the whole thing about the bar being lowered.
Yeah.
Like, they were completely right about it. So, you know, that show is extremely popular and people are laughing at it. Moonshiners, which now got a spinoff called Tickle. Because that's...
What?
Yeah, the guy's name is Tickle.
Oh my god, I can't even...
He's so blatantly redneck that they gave him his own show. That's right. There's a spinoff of a show about rednecks making moonshine. That, yeah.
Biggest sigh I can ever... Why?
Scramble was talking about the Sons of Anarchy one. He said, both better than getting your head caved in with a pipe like Ope, though.
Well, you know what? Yeah, a lot of things are better than
that. Happened.
People are so stupid.
And here's another show that's famous that shouldn't be. Amish Mafia.
Oh my god, I can't. That show pisses me off.
I cannot stand a whole...
What the fuck?
Yeah, I can't...
Literally what?
I can't stand a whole group of people now because of Amish Mafia.
I can't stand just that. I can't. I'm like, are you? No. I'm like, first of all, why? Sake. Why would you agree? And they go on. What I love is they go on and on and on. I've seen literally clips from it. I will not watch an episode, but they go on and on about secrecy. Oh, people say there's no Amish Mafia, but there is. Like, secrecy. You're fucking filming a show about it.
Do you not
comprehend that these cameras are making things television that we are now watching? I do not understand why they can go around doing these fucking shit. And the feds aren't like, oh, well, now we have evidence. Thanks.
It's kind of like Jerry Springer, where for a while people thought there were really fights going on.
It's not. It's not real. Just saying, like, it's fucking annoying.
People
think it's real, and it's not.
Yeah, they think it's real. And first off, I can't stand the fucking Amish now because of this show.
It's just like, I'm sorry, Amish. Like, you have a nice culture. I'm sure some of you are very nice people, but I can't fucking stand you because of the show.
I can't stand, like, first off.
I cannot drive through Pennsylvania now,
yeah.
So thank you.
Most cultures where religion is the be-all, end-all, and that you're shunned for being part of the current century, I just want nothing to do with and want to hear nothing of. But this show is everywhere. When they speak Dutch, it just enrages me. I cannot stand the show. There's nothing good about it. And when I'm with family, they watch the show if it's on in season.
Oh,
wait,
God.
I hope you don't seriously mean they speak Dutch.
They speak the Dutch language.
They shouldn't, because the Amish come from Pennsylvania Dutch, originally Pennsylvania Deutsch, as in German. So if they're speaking Dutch, then it's really fake.
Well, yeah, and there's no shit it's fake, but still, though.
Obviously, no shit, it's fake. But if they're that fucking stupid that they're speaking the wrong language, come on.
And then they made a show called Breaking Amish.
Let me guess. They were just trying to appeal to the Breaking Bad community by putting Breaking Amish, Breaking Bad.
Well, what it was someone was trying to not be Amish anymore.
Is it when they go on like the Rumspringa, or is it when they just like they decided to leave?
They decided to leave.
Okay, see, that actually could be an interesting concept for a show.
It's bad, though.
Yeah.
I know, I'm just saying.
It would be interesting if they were presenting, like, oh, say, you know, this is the struggles
actual
we go through.
Actual things happening?
What?
Actual things happening.
And, none of these reality shows are reality. And most of them are terrible. But at least, like, the ones that we've all stated as ones we like, there's something interesting. It's not just...
like the lowest of the low as far as the bar of humor.
Yeah.
Like, why do people laugh at this shit? This is the same reason that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is...
Because it makes them feel better about themselves.
Oh, fucking
about their
Andy
own
Samberg.
Shitty lives.
Yeah, and Scrambler posted a picture. That guy in the chat right now is Tickle.
Jesus. Sir, no. It's terrifying.
Western Echo says Amish Suicides would be a better show. Yeah, and you know what? Let's get to, like, newer shows, TV shows, non-reality shows that are out there. There's some shit that's out there, too. I don't get it. Why? Why, like, granted, I'm not surprised that Andy Samberg got his own show.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, that's the
he's
show?
He's not fucking funny.
Like, that, listen, a lot of us don't think he's funny. He's only really known for the Lonely Island. Like, that's the only...
Lonely Island, I can appreciate. But he's got two other guys helping him write.
Yeah, that's the only thing of merit that he's done. But... And the fact that he looked Jewy enough to play Adam Sandler's son in a movie.
Alright, I watched the James Franco roast. And I get it. Some people have the awkward comedy or the anti-comedy where they basically kill the joke because that's funny. That works for some people. It's just when you're not funny, it doesn't work at all. It makes you even less funny.
Yeah. Now let's face it, the best parts of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, probably not involving Andy Samberg.
I haven't watched it, but all of the things I see of it, like, apparently the funniest parts are with, like, Chelsea Peretti and...
Yeah. It's good that she's getting work, but still.
Yeah.
You know.
Because she's funny.
So...
Parks and Rec, so...
Yeah, and, you know, she almost went to jail in the Vatican.
Wait, really? I've never actually heard the story. Wait, what?
She made some jokes about, I believe, the Catholic religion on a tour in Italy, and she was almost, like...
Arrested?
She was arrested and almost had to, like, go to jail.
Holy shit.
Yup.
That's terrifying. God. Guys, the Da Vinci Code is real.
Don't say anything bad about pedophiles, apparently.
Yeah, wow. Well, the Vatican, like, is, you know, like, religion very much is the law of the land in Italy. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But, again, though, I mean, just the shit that's getting greenlit on TV shows. And yet, the Lock and Key pilot doesn't go past...
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, you know, I wasn't angry about that. I had sort of pushed it aside, but now you brought it back up, and now I'm pissed again.
Right? And again, though.
Because I'm literally reading it, and there's one issue left. I'm on, like, the second to last issue, because there's literally one issue left of this entire series, and the entire time I'm reading it, I'm like, why was this fucking show canceled? This would literally be the greatest show. You know what? I hope that one day it'll end up on AMC or FX or some, like, network like that where I can watch it, and it's not like an HBO where they take it too far, but, like, it would be so perfect on AMC.
Yeah. Here's one.
So perfect.
Here's one for you.
I hope AMC's like, oh, yeah, we'll redo it now. Come on. Let's start. We'll get it all because it could be so good.
Here's one.
Fuckers.
Two shows that were canceled after one season, Terriers and Firefly. All right, both.
Go fuck yourself.
One show that got a second season, Whitney. Mm. The not even funny show created by and starring Whitney Cummings. Because she doesn't know how to act, which I've said numerous times about this show. That was the downfall. It could have been something by network standards, not by my standards. I didn't like it and probably wouldn't have liked it no matter what they did. But it could have been a much more successful network sitcom had she known not to act instead of doing her stand-up presentation of how she says stuff. Because when you do that, to some people, that kind of sounds a little condescending. Meanwhile, her other show, is doing pretty well. It's getting positive reviews, and guess what? She's not starring in it.
What show?
Two Broke Girls.
Oh, is that... That's you know what? I'm going to go back to watching Arrow. I think I'm going to give it another chance.
I'm going to give it a chance at some point.
Because I keep hearing, like, it gets so much better. And it's, like, amazing. But I think I'm going to...
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it another chance. Because I got to, like, episode 11, and it was, like, losing me, but then it got interesting again. But then I was like, meh. But apparently they've introduced Black Canary now, so I'm like, I should watch it.
Oh, all right. Oh, so it's like not adhering to the Smallville.
No, it really isn't. No, it has nothing to do with Smallville. It's kind of it's in its own universe. So but from what I've watched so far, it sort of also isn't completely adhering to the canon of Green Arrow, but like it is. It's deviating from the source material, but sort of in a good way.
Hmm.
I think. As much as I know about Green Arrow, because I really don't know a lot about him.
Hold on. I just read what Cornax just put in the Skype chat. Holy shit. Where did you hear this, Cornax?
The Guardian. That. Well, also crack.com, but it links to the article, The Guardian.
Now, these are the...
9 lost Doctor Who episodes were found in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm trying to remember how many were lost.
11.
11? So most of the lost episodes are now found.
Yep, we're still just missing 3.
2.
2, my bad.
Actually, one of them is specifically, they found 4 episodes of a 6-parter. One of the only 2 missing tapes is...
Now say that again, because you cut out.
They found 4 episodes of the 6-parter, The Web of Fear. One of the only 2 remaining lost episodes is the 3rd part of that 6-parter.
Hmm. Holy shit.
Also, he found included are the 5 episodes that complete the 6-parter, The Enemy of the World.
Oh, shit.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. They need to release everything of this show.
Well, they have on iTunes.
Well, yeah, they just have to find.
Yeah,
they found the last 2.
And they put them on iTunes.
That's great, dude. That is fantastic because. And this.
Oh no! It was 11 episodes found at the TV facility in Nigeria, of the 106 lost episodes.
Oh
fuck.
So that means...
Yeah, I thought there was more. I was like, they don't have all of them.
97 lost episodes.
Woo!
We're
on our way.
Getting closer, chipping away. I hope they find the remaining lost episodes because, I mean, holy shit. They've got to be lying around somewhere.
In Tanzania.
Didn't some of them burn,
shit?
Like in a fire?
Probably.
A lot of it was. Also... You're going to like this news, Punchy, because I know you're a film buff.
Yes.
You know The Day the Clown Cried?
Yep.
Some footage of that has been released.
No shit.
Uh-huh. By a Flemish TV documentary, and it was subsequently uploaded on YouTube, according to crack.com. And let's see. I'm going to confirm this because I currently see a screenshot of Jerry Lewis as a clown. it's the making of footage.
Huh.
So, who wants to see a Jerry Lewis movie about the Holocaust?
No.
I'd see it. Yeah, there were some movies that were like... that were from that, like, not made in that time, or actually somewhere, but, like, there's a movie called The Rules of the Game that, for a long time, wasn't released, or there's certain footage that, just...
Well, this is like, he thought, you know what, no, I can't do it. And I think the film is surprisingly powerful, reading a synopsis of it, because the idea of, you know, he's going... Yeah, it's just look it up yourselves. I'll post the link. to the footage here.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about the rules of the game. This movie, during, like, and this is, like, I have a soft spot for movies that are found, even though people think they've been lost for a long time. Because, again, I'm a film buff and just, but the rules of the game, which was a French movie, the original negative was destroyed during an Allied bombing during World War II. Which a lot of people thought that the complete version would never be seen. And it wasn't until after the war that pieces of the negative were found and, like, the film was reassembled. And it was restored to about 106 minutes with the director's approval and advice. The only scene that was not located was one that was not vital to the plot to begin with. But it sucks when you hear that a potentially classic movie is no longer available to be seen because the negative's gone. And that's what I liked about Hugo, actually, the movie Hugo.
Yeah.
You could tell that, like, I don't know if any of you saw Hugo.
Yes.
Yes. Like the part with the part about like restoring film in there is great. Like, I love, that was my favorite part of the movie. And I like when Scorsese doesn't do what he usually does movie-wise anyway, but, like, that was a great touch because that was the most personal stretch of film that Martin Scorsese's directed in years.
Yeah, wait, okay, hang on. Not to, like, change the subject, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doing Thor crossover directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Yep, I was actually going to...
Yes.
I was going to read that in a bit.
I have it from Entertainment Weekly, but I'm going to read it now because we only have 15 minutes left.
All right.
And it on Entertainment Weekly, and it says, it's official. I'm going to put it in the chat first. It's official. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing a crossover episode with the upcoming film Thor: The Dark World. After Dark World is released in theaters November 8th, the November 19th episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Well, will continue where the film left off. Here's the official description. In the aftermath of the events chronicled in the feature film, Marvel's Thor: The Dark World, Coulson and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pick up the pieces, one of which threatens to destroy a member of the team. The episode is directed by sci-fi TV luminary Jonathan Frakes, Star Trek Next Generation, who previously directed an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., co-creator Joss Whedon, S.H.I.E.L.D. co-creator Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There's a slew of announced guest stars in the episode, but none from Thor 2, so no Chris Hemsworth stopping by to wave his hammer at Coulson. Peter McNichol as Professor Elliot Randolph, Michael Graziata as Jacob Nystrom, Aaron Way as Petra Larson, Toby Wilson as Niels, Alex Nos as Maynard and Sylvia, Brindis as Elena. Huh. So that's cool.
That is pretty awesome. I actually can't wait to see that.
I think this is what I've been waiting for with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's not just like there's other cameos and there's other stuff like going on with like, you know, there's other cameos and there's other stuff going on in the series, but, like, I do like, for, like, other Marvel movies, it's just, like, cameos of, like, Nick Fury showed up, but, like, this is what I've been waiting for, is, like, for it to actually more connect, and they've been doing stuff with Extremis now, which is great.
Yep.
That's, like, their over-arc thing is, like, stuff with Extremis, but, like, I'm really digging that they're now, like, digging into it more.
Which is good, and like you said, That's the best part of the show is that it will cross over with the movies. So
yeah, it's so in universe that it's just amazing.
I just hope there's one that crosses over with the Captain America movie.
Oh, I'm sure if they're doing Thor, they're definitely going to be doing something that has to do with after that. Because especially just from seeing the trailer, a fucking helicarrier crashes. Like,
Chris Evans.
They're not
going to
at least talk about it. What?
Chris Evans isn't doing too much. I think he'd be willing to show up in a TV show for a cameo.
Hey, if they
could you fucking imagine though, like if he and Scarlett Johansson just like fucking showed up?
Well,
and they were like on a mission and they just like were in the episode.
More so him because Scarlett Johansson's usually pretty busy. But,
yeah, I mean she does like Broadway and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, could you imagine?
Yeah, or let's face it. Even though I say that, if Samuel L. Jackson could do it.
Yeah, right? Like, he just... I mean, granted, that was one scene.
He's in fucking...
one scene.
Yeah, he's in everything.
Like, literally now. Now he has more credits than, I think, Frank Welker.
Probably.
Oh, no, he's grossed more. He's made more money than Frank Welker now.
Either way.
Whoa. No. Cornax?
What?
We can hear ourselves.
How can you hear yourself?
I don't know. I think...
Is your volume fucked up?
Better?
Yeah. Much better. God, we really need to get you a headset. All right,
well, I'll be getting my paycheck next week.
Wait, listen. We're a little bit of ball busting, but we should get you one anyway, because just because you're part of the show, you need to have equipment. So we're going to do that.
Look, at least I sound better than Dark Claw.
Well... you're talking. You sound better than anyone from Live from the Morgue. You know.
I'm not just sitting here silently.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Even not even talking is better than what you hear from Live from the Morgue. 2 hours or 3 hours of dead air is better than what you hear from Live from the Morgue, let alone 4 hours of their shit.
Yep.
Weston Echo, I don't think the budget of Agents can afford any of them to do a cameo, at least not yet. That depends, though. Like, if Marvel renegotiates the contract, they could say, listen, you've got to appear at least once in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or, you know, some people take... Robert Downey Jr. has been known to take a steep cut in his paycheck to do stuff.
Yeah, but you know what else he does when he takes the steep cut in paycheck? Is he gets back-end money, a back-end percentage, which gets him $50 million for the Avengers.
Good point!
Like, yeah, he takes the steep paycheck because he knew, he was smart enough to know that the Avengers...
This is going to make me million.
Yeah, he was smart enough to know this is the movie that's going to let me be able to not have to do... shit movies ever again and just do any personal project that I want to put myself in. No matter, regardless of how big of a risk or how truly independent it may be. Because let's face it, I'm Robert Downey Jr. Yes, I acted in blackface pretty well, might I add, but I also won awards for playing Charlie fucking Chaplin when I was younger.
That was an amazing movie.
And came back from rock fucking bottom.
Yep. And came back from rock bottom. Exactly. Oh, shit, I'm trying to remember the one movie he was in that was fantastic, right after he came back from Rock Bottom.
Lock, Stock, and... No, that's wrong movie. What was it called?
Oh, it had Val Kilmer in it.
Was it?
It was really good. I just, you know...
Kiss, Bang, Bang?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why, because I know they're two separate movies with two separate titles, but it's always Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, and Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels that I always go like... I don't know why... Those titles, just they're so different, and they include gun stuff that I think I swap them. And I'm stupid.
Yeah, well,
say
still,
something.
Still, the movie was great, again, though. Like, Robert Downey, that might have been what got him the Iron Man role. I know, like, it was between him and Sam Rockwell, so.
I am Iron Man, bitch.
Yeah.
No, it's because Robert Downey Jr. can convincingly play Tony Stark.
Well, that too, but the second option was Sam Rockwell, who ironically played Justin Hammer in the second one.
Awkward.
Awkward. You're just here for a movie, I'm here for a franchise and the Avengers.
So that technically means I'm here for two franchises.
Yeah. Although I think Sam Rockwell would have done well playing the role.
Well, doesn't matter anymore.
I know, it doesn't matter, but I'm just pointing out, because he can play a large range of roles. But, again, he lost that to Robert Downey Jr., who looks like the embodiment of Tony Stark. So.
Yes.
He really does. It's
just, you know what? This is going to sound really... Oh, wait, we still need to do that, because I was about to mention fan fiction. I don't know. You know how they have that crossover between the Ultimate Comics and, like, Ultimate Spider-Man and Spider-Man 616?
Yeah.
I just want to see, like, what the standard comic book versions would think if they see these movies. You know?
That, you know what? That should be a thing. And I think Marvel or DC should do that.
Just because I would love to see Tony Stark's response to fucking Robert Downey Jr.
Can I point out something, though? You mentioned this crossover with Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Can I just point out the cop-out that was made by killing Ultimate Peter Parker off and replacing him with a Hispanic kid? Can I just point out how ridiculous that was? Because first off, if you're going to do it, do it. Don't do it in a side universe and then advertise it as, hey, Spider-Man's going to get killed.
Well,
and wait. Are you more annoyed that they killed him off in a side universe instead of just doing it in the regular universe?
I'm more annoyed that it was the cop out. If they're gonna kill him, kill him.
Well, like, hell,
and then
now,
and then replace him in the main universe.
Still cop out. This is what I love. They've even now done what Punchy wants in the main universe, and yet they're still copping out because they're still going to have him come back. You know?
Yeah, they're still Well, not that I want Peter Parker killed, because I like the character. I mean, let's face it, it's Spider-Man. He's like, it's hard to hate the character. But still, if you're going to kill a character, kill the character. Don't be, oh, it's an alternate universe version, though.
Well, here's what I think. They should do what they did with Ghost Rider in the 90s. And let me explain that. If you want to get rid of the character, like, you don't want to kill Peter Parker because you love him, but you want to get rid of him as Spider-Man. But you ran as a franchise. Well, what Ghost Rider did was they got rid of Johnny Blaze. They brought him back, but they had a different Ghost Rider.
Danny Ketch.
Yeah, and you could still have Johnny Blaze as a character because they did that.
Yep.
And eventually, because you kept Johnny Blaze around, you were able to bring him back as the Ghost Rider, and now you have multiple Ghost Riders.
Yes. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, they technically did kill Peter Parker, but they technically didn't because it's Otto Octavius in Peter Parker's mind. But no, wait a second. Peter Parker is also sitting there making sure that Doc Ock doesn't go too far.
Because, you know, we don't want him making spider legs on his back and then doing some Japanese tentacle stuff with MJ.
Or just him killing people.
Come on, that got nothing? Also, come on, we need to... We said we'd make this a weekly bit. How come we're not?
We're going to make it a weekly bit, but we also said we were going to make a monthly bit of watching movies, and that probably won't happen until I can talk Weston Echo into going 1 week, which doesn't mean that I have tried to and he hasn't, just I've forgotten to. We got to do the Repo the Genetic Opera night us going to Hammy, me and Weston Echo going to Hammy's, and it being watched on, you know.
Oh, also, I found a new selection for us all. We have a Castlevania Twilight crossover in which Simon Belmont rapes Edward Cullen. And then there is this weird Goof Troop thing where there's Bugs Bunny and Pete and Goofy and Max and Kim Possible, and they're all having a weird combination of sex that results in shit, plus blood, cum, and even each other's bodies. And that's a quote.
Just do one.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one.
Just, yeah.
I love how I describe any of these and you guys get so quiet.
Just, oh my God. So, yeah, we got a few things that we didn't do, recurring bits. We're also going to try to get interviews. Now that I've gotten in with FX, and this publicist seems to want to help us get interviews with people from shows, I think I know what the next one I'm going to go to try to get with Brainstew or the Nerd Hour, whichever one time-wise permits.
And that would be?
Danelle Logue.
And that would be?
Well, that one too, but that interview, Cornax, has nothing to do with FX. Hello?
Yeah. Wait, what?
I
don't know.
Who are you talking about, Cornax?
I said, and that would be meaning I didn't know who
who that was.
He was on Terriers, and he's in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
He was in Sons of Anarchy.
He was also in Grounded for Life. He was in that Shark Knight remake, or Shark Knight movie that recently came out. He was also in Blade.
Okay.
He was the bearded guy who was, like, the number two guy in Deacon Frost's group.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was him. So, right. We are the Nerd Hour again.
Yes.
Guys, while I get the exit song ready, give your plugs out.
Nerd Hour Ariel on Twitter.
Cornax357 on Twitter.
CM Punchy on Twitter. And again, you can hear the rest of my shows all throughout More Like Radio. You know, we got Brainstorm Radio, which is directly before this show. And now that Colette is back, probably we will be going until 11-ish, close to 11. Also, 360 on 420, Thursdays and Sundays, midnight to 3. Markout Radio, Wednesdays from 11 to 1 a.m., from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Also, I do the Sully Show Sundays from noon to 2. That is more I'm a fill-in guest host until one of their guys comes back. So check those shows out. And even if I'm not on the shows, check out all the wonderful More Like Radio shows. Check the schedule, even though it's not really all that updated. Dennis goes, let's go. I'll bring a projector so we can all see it as far as the movie night. But anyway, go to morelikeradio.com to check out all the great shows. If you're listening live, obviously you are already there. But check the schedule. See what else you want to listen to. And missing a show? Guess what? You can go to morelikeradio.org and check it out. Until next time, we are the Nerd Hour.
Hey. More Like Radio. It's like an orgasm in your ears, but less sticky.
Yes.